Chapter 2. Nero. What just happened? 1 minute I'm talking to the guy I had met the night before. Things are going well. I was feeling like he could be someone special. Then out of nowhere, he yelled at me and told me to fuck off. What the fuck just happened? I shouted at Kendall as he walked away. He didn't turn around or reply. A part of me wanted to chase him down and force him to tell me, but I wasn't going to. Did it have to do with me playing football? How? Why? Football had always been what everyone liked about me. Even the people who hated me loved me when I stepped onto the field. Hell, even my mother loved me when I stepped onto the field. For so many years, she had been missing from my life. Not because she had abandoned me like my father, but because she had disappeared into her own world. And the only time she would rejoin this one would be cheering for me under Friday night lights. Football had been how I and my newly discovered brother Cage bonded. Football is what is paying for my escape from the small town I grew up in. Football has given me everything good in my life. But the first guy I've ever admitted to liking, the first guy who has my heart tumble just looking at him, hates me for having anything to do with it? Why can't I catch a fucking break? Standing where Kendall had left me, my thoughts spun. It wasn't just that Kendall had walked off rejecting me. It was everything else going on in my life. Coming from Snowtip Falls, big city life was hard. There was so much pressure. It took everything in me to stand out on the field. Waking up earlier than everyone else to run suicide sprints until I puked was just the beginning. Last night had been the first night I had felt okay about things. Meeting Kendall and him being so forward had made me think I could maybe be myself as well. I was as nice and considerate as I knew how to be with him. I really didn't want to screw things up. He was my chance to be who I really was for the first time in my life. And all of that had ended with him pointing his finger at me and yelling, "Hell no!" That hurt. It ripped my guts out. I started walking so my head wouldn't explode. Leaving the pond, I headed to the street. It was the one that cut through campus. But instead of heading to my cramped dorm, I jogged in the opposite direction. I needed to get away. I needed to breathe. My jog quickly turned into a run. As I did, my mind swirled. Thoughts of Kendall shifted to the last 21 years of my life. I had had to fight for everything. No one had given me anything, not even my mother. While she was catatonic, I went to work. Someone had to make sure we had a place to sleep and food to eat. By 14 years old, the only person I could rely on was myself. Most of the time, I wore clothes that were a size too small. I couldn't afford anything else. And when the first kid at school pointed it out, I whooped his ass for bringing it up. No one made fun of me for it after that. I went from doing errands that could have gotten me killed at 14 to betting on myself in fight clubs at 20. I'd always done whatever it took to survive. If Cage hadn't found me and told me we were brothers, I would probably still be doing it. Instead, he introduced me to his college football coach, arranged for my scholarship, and rescued me from that world. Yet even with how far I've come, the guy I fell for still thinks I'm too hard to love. That had to be why my mother chose to vanish into her own world and why I grew up without a father. I was too hard to love. I was a nobody, worth nothing, and that was all I was ever gonna be. Thinking that, everything became too much. My head throbbed and a painful agony ripped through me. I felt like I was going to explode. I needed to release it. So doing it the only way I knew how, I locked my eyes on the next parked car in front of me and let go. Kicking the door as hard as I could, the metal bent on impact. It wasn't enough. I needed to hear a crash. So balling my fist, I pounded on the passenger window. It wouldn't give in, so I slammed harder. Eventually, the glass exploded into 1,000 pieces. As loud as it was, that still wasn't enough. Kicking the back door, I dented that. About to climb on the hood and put my foot through the windshield, something stopped me. It was a siren. It woke me up as if I had been lost in a bad dream. Clearing my head, I stared at what I had done. I had demolished the car. This was bad. I had lost control of myself, and this was the result.
"Get on the ground!"
someone yelled behind me.
"I said get on the ground!"
I had just ruined everything. I was about to lose my scholarship and my only shot at life. If I were a smarter person, maybe I would have run. I didn't have it in me. I had done this. I had been the one to mess up everything good that I had going on, no one else. And I wasn't going to fight my self-inflicted destruction. Not getting onto my knees fast enough, someone shoved me from behind. I fell, landing on the broken glass. Before I could get off it, someone was pulling my wrists together and slapping on cuffs. They were tight enough to cut into my skin.
"You have the right to remain silent," he began.
I didn't have to listen to the rest. I was familiar with it. I was going to jail. Since I couldn't afford bail, they were going to hold me for 2 to 3 days until I went up before the judge. From there, I would be sentenced. And unlike when I was underage, this crime would follow me for the rest of my life. I had done this to myself, and to be honest, I always knew it was a matter of time before I screwed things up. I followed the cop's instructions without resistance. In the back seat of the squad car, I let my mind wander. I thought about all of the things that had gotten me here. I thought about Kendall. Of all of my regrets, the fact that I had made him so upset was at the top of it. The truth was that last night's party wasn't the first time I had seen him. It was the day of Cage's graduation. We had locked eyes as he stood under a tree watching the ceremony. I thought he was the cutest guy I had ever seen. He wasn't a big guy, but dressed all in black, he had a bit of an edge to him. His shaggy brown hair highlighted his angular features, and completing his I don't give a fuck look with delicate, rounded rimmed glasses told me that there was more to him than he let on. There was more to me than I let on. I was the thug who hosted fight clubs for money. I was ready to take someone out at the drop of a hat, but I liked guys. All I ever wanted was for a guy to hold me in his arms and tell me that everything was going to be all right. When I saw Kendall standing there, I desperately wanted to do that for him. Maybe no one would ever do that for me, but I could be his rescuer. I wanted to protect him. I wanted to give Kendall the love I could never have. But the moment I was given an opening, I fucked things up by being myself. At the station, I answered all of their questions and was escorted to my cell. There were two other people there. One looked drunk off his ass, and the other, well, he looked like me, a thug whose time had run out. I wasn't in the mood for talking, and neither were they. This wasn't my first time in jail, so knowing I would be there for a while, I got comfortable. It was to my surprise when a cop appeared on the other side of the bars and said my name. "Nero? Roman? That's me. You made bail. Let's go." I got up sure he had made a mistake, but if they were going to let me out on a filing error, I was okay with that. Walking back to the sea of desks, I scanned the room, spotting someone I didn't expect to see. Quinn was my brother's boyfriend, and he was looking pretty freaked out. Considering Quinn's parents had more money than God, and he grew up vacationing in places like the Bahamas, no wonder being in a police station made him look like he was about to pee himself. The only question was what he was doing here. I hadn't used my one phone call. I couldn't think of anyone who would help me. When I got within arm's length, Quinn threw his arms around me. His embrace was genuine and tight.
"Jesus, Nero, what happened? What are you doing here? And why didn't you call me?"
I was about to answer when someone else I knew walked through the doors. Titus was my roommate and a guy I knew from back home. He had been inspired to attend East Tennessee University by the same two people I had, Quinn and my brother. He approached and threw his arms around me too.
"What the hell is going on, man? And why did we have to hear you were here from some guy at campus security?"
"It's nothing," I told him. "I just did a little damage to a car."
"A little damage?"
Quinn asked, pulling away.
"They said you smashed in a window and a couple of doors?"
"Like I said, a little damage," I said with a hint of a smile.
"Why?"
Quinn begged, his cutely nerdy face narrowing. I thought about Kendall and how he had told me to go to hell. "I don't want to talk about it. You guys got a ride out of here?"
"Yeah, I'm driving,"
Titus told me, pushing his fingers through his shaggy, coffee-colored hair.
"I'm parked out front. Let's go."
The three of us headed to Titus's truck and drove back to campus in silence.
"Where am I headed?"
Titus asked as we turned onto campus lane.
"Am I dropping everyone off, or are we headed to Quinn's place for our usual Sunday dinner?"
I was about to ask him to take me to our dorm when Quinn cut me off.
"My place. Cage is driving down and he's going to want to hear about all of this. It may as well be over food."
"You didn't tell Cage, did you?" I asked Quinn, feeling a pain in my chest about it.
He was the first person I called after Titus told me.
I looked at Titus, pissed.
Look, man, campus security told me you had destroyed one of their cars and was in jail. Who else was I supposed to call? He was the only one who would know how to get you a lawyer.
You called a lawyer? I asked Quinn.
I didn't have to. Cage called the school and was able to smooth things out. He still has a lot of goodwill from winning them those national championships. So all I had to do was put up your bail and get you out.
So I'm not going to lose my scholarship?
I didn't say that. But I'm sure Cage will tell you everything you need to know about it. Seriously, Nero, what were you thinking?
I didn't reply.
So we're headed to Quinn's place?
I looked out the window, resigned.
Yeah. Cool. Lou told me he didn't have a date tonight. He's going to be there too,
Titus said with a smile. Both Quinn and I looked at him.
What? He and I are friends. I know neither of you has much experience with having friends, but trust me, hanging out is a thing people do.
I turned to Quinn. We were both thinking the same thing. Titus never talked about it, but living with him, I was definitely getting the sense that we had more in common than either of us was admitting. Titus and Quinn's gay roommate were pretty close. I knew that being friends with a gay guy didn't mean anything, and Titus was a very friendly dude, but I couldn't help but think how cute the two of them were together. I would never say that to Titus because I wasn't ready for the guy I lived with to see that side of me. It was one thing to let little things slip in front of my brother's boyfriend who had a lot of practice keeping secrets. It was another to tell the person who saw you every day and watched your comings and goings. That was too much pressure considering I had barely figured things out. And after what happened with Kendall, I realized I knew even less than I thought I did. Parking in front of Quinn's fancy dorm room, we headed up and were greeted by Lou.
You brought the criminal,
he said, staring at me.
What did it end up being? Armed robbery? A B&E?
How do you know what a B&E is?
Titus asked.
I watch Law and Order. I know things.
Quinn interjected.
I don't think Nero wants to talk about it, so... It was a classic smash and grab, wasn't it? Look, don't think because you have this whole bad boy thing going on, you're going to get me to fall in love with you. I like nice guys.
I opened my mouth to reply.
Okay, fine, we can go out. But if you get me pregnant after a drunken night of lovemaking, I'm having the baby and I'm not raising him alone.
I looked at Lou stunned and then laughed. We all did.
I'm serious, mister. I'm not raising Nero Jr. by myself.
Okay, I promise,
I told him, suddenly feeling better about things. Titus spoke up.
Now that we got that settled, how does everyone feel about a game of Wavelength?
Wavelength was our go-to Sunday night game. Mostly it was over drinks and when things were a lot less tense. Pairing up, Titus grabbed Lou, of course, and I partnered with Quinn. Playing a couple of rounds, things were good. Then Cage arrived. My brother was pissed. I couldn't blame him. Why the hell did you smash up a campus security car?
It was a campus security car?
I asked. You didn't know? It wasn't like I was targeting anybody. I was just mad. About what?
Nothing,
I said, really not wanting to talk about it. Don't want to say, huh? Well, you're going to have to talk about it. The school's willing to let you pay for it instead of pressing charges. I don't have the money. You're the one who destroyed it. You're going to be the one to pay for it.
I could lend you it,
Quinn volunteered. I don't need your money, I snapped. Watch it, Nero. He's just trying to help. I don't need his help. I don't need anyone's help. Considering he was the one who bailed you out of jail, that doesn't seem quite true, does it? I shut up, knowing Cage was right. As soon as I stopped talking, so did Cage. With a lot more sympathy in his eyes, he approached me and put his arms around my shoulder. Nero, you have a temper, and you're gonna have to get control of it. I'm trying. And yet, my boyfriend had to bail you out of jail today. I don't know what to say, I admitted. Cage stared at me. I guess he didn't know what to say either. I'll think of something. I'll talk to the school and see what we can come up with. Don't worry. We'll get this straightened out. I'm here for you, man. I'm not going anywhere. None of us are, Titus added.
Yeah,
Quinn agreed. I looked at the guys around me and wiped a tear from my eyes. Maybe everything would be all right. Maybe I wasn't as alone as I thought.